And now, ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for Mark Kopolov and the final Mark Kopolov Purple Haze.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
Hi, this is Brian Wilson, and you're listening to Mark Kopolov on the station that sounds great to me, 88.3 Southern FM.
I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Well, hello everyone, I'm Mark Kopolov, and I plan to bring you a lot of good vibrations tonight, which is sadly my very last show after 22 years on air at 88.3 Southern FM here in Melbourne. My family and I are moving to Sydney, so it's time to say goodbye, but before I tell you who's on the show tonight, I'd like to mention that Daniel has kindly stood down tonight from his show after this one. It's called Love on the Rocks, so that I can go through to maybe 11:30. So thanks, Daniel. And for the last time, thank you, Andrew Rennie, for another terrific space show. Okay, I'd like to start off by thanking people who've supported me so much across those 22 years. The list is long, so please be tolerant because it's important to me to thank these people. I'd also like to shout out to all the frontline people who are working so bravely and hard to keep us all safe from the coronavirus. So I'd like to dedicate my last show to all those frontline people, as well as all the people who have supported me on radio for 22 years. They include my family, my wonderful and very tolerant wife, Rachel, love you, Ray, our kids, Carly and Adam, and also Darren, Letty, Maya and Rogie. All the listeners out there over the years, we've had people listen in from England, Germany, hi Quinton, and America, all sorts of countries who enjoy community radio. The 110 plus guests I've had on the show have had some fantastic talent in the studio and on the phone, and of course the support from the 88.3 board and members. And also people like Peter Tolich, Alan Clement, Mark Misson, Ray Lawrence, Mel Thoyd, Carl Bianco, Cameron Hyde, Nick Black, Greg Naber, the late Steve Price, Gerald Mayhead, the artist's management, the artist's publicists, Mike Healy, Colin Tyrus, Sandra Spencer, Gerald Mayhead, Rockin' Dave Suskin, Daniel Jenziuk, and Michael Matthews, Dennis Smith, Aldo Leonard, Jim Wright, Pauline O'Brien, David Gillard, Nigel Carter, Denise Lynn, Ted Keeley, Mark Seymour, Daryl Bailey, Bob Hart, the Leader newspaper, and the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia, and probably many others that I've forgotten to mention, so I apologise to those people. Today I'd like to thank the people who today put so many likes and comments on my Facebook page. All my so many friends are listening, so I hope you guys enjoy it. So reflecting back on 22 years, it's been fantastic. I've met so many great people, learnt so much. Do I have any regrets? I only have one. And that is I didn't get my interview with Paul McCartney that I and so many other people have been trying to get for me for so many years. But up in Sydney, I hope to approach a community radio in Paddington that appeals to me, and I'll see if I pass the audition and maybe get a show up there, and I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. So regarding my guests tonight, due to the coronavirus, unfortunately, all my guests will be by phone. Now, they include the legendary Ross Wilson, Kevin Johnson will talk about his new inspirational song, The Sun Will Shine Again. Michael Spivey from The Bad Loves regarding their new single, Soul Brother Trucking Song. We've got Walter Mussolino from The Man City Sirens regarding their new single, A Girl, A Picture, A Wall. Michael Burrows regarding his release, Please Don't Cry, featuring Neil Finn. Michael Jacobs regarding Jacobs' run to talk about their new single, Number 5. Charlie May will talk about her new song, Ready for Something. And I'll play some snippets from my 110-plus interviews ranging from Ringo Starr through to Russell Morris and others. So I'll just keep going to about 11:30 or so. So up first is my guest, Ross Wilson. Now, people would know Ross Wilson, of course, as a frontman for Daddy Cool, but he also was a frontman for Mighty Kong, Mondo Rock, and he also produced Skyhooks, Jojo Zepp, and lots of other bands. So after these two songs from Ross, I'll be back to talk with an Aussie legend. Now, the first one is called Hell of a Time, and the second one is called Fishing on a Rainy Day. And when I get Ross on the phone, I'll explain why I chose those two as openers. Here's the great Ross Wilson.
Into the bay, rolling past Seaford, I'm being led on to Sorrento and nearer the heads.
Fishing on a rainy day, drifting in the misty gray. Fishing on a rainy day.
Truth be told, I come out here to taste the salt and breathe the air. Got no rod, not even a line. Guess I got something else in mind.
Fishing on a rainy day, washing all my woes away. Fishing on a rainy day.
Here am I on
there's a white bird circling all underneath. That's when I stop, look up.
Hello, Ross.
Hi there. Drifting off across the bay?
Yeah, not tonight. It's pouring outside, but anyway.
Nah. Yeah. Well, it's a rainy day, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, look, I'd like to start off to thank you for taking the time to speak to me tonight, and also welcome back, because I had a look at my records, and you were on my show the first time, would you believe, 8 years ago, which is incredible.
Yeah, that'd be about right, yeah.
Gosh. But look, I'd like to start off by talking about the two songs I chose to open the songs with. First of all, is Hell of a Time. Now, I chose that one. I chose that one because tonight is my last show after 22 years at Southern FM, because I'm moving to Sydney.
Hell of a time.
And I can relate to that, because over those I've had a hell of a time here, and getting to interview people I greatly admire, such as yourself and many other people. But you've obviously had a hell of a time when you think back to your first band, the Pink Finks, through
Pink
to
Pink,
now.
Yeah, well.
And also the fact that you've been inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame not once, but twice. Wow, what a career.
Well, I'm trying. Well, we're working on getting a third one up for Mondo Rock, you know.
Hat trick.
then I'll be I think maybe the only person who's done it three times.
Wow, it's amazing. You must be. I know that you. I live in Bentley, and I know in South Road that I think it was Hannah's house or something that you guys used to start off practicing at. So
yeah, 444.
Oh, South Triple Road. Four. Okay.
Yeah. So it's still there.
But, Ross, I was going to say, my wife Rachel and I saw you perform not long ago at the Sydney Opera House with Russell Morris and a handful of other great talents. So you're still out there rocking when you can. We don't have this virus.
Well, you know, not at the moment.
No. But before that, though.
Before that, I've had a pretty good run for about 50 years.
Yeah.
Until now.
Wow. Well, look, the other song was Fishing on a Rainy Day, and that's a bit different than your, let's say, normal style of writing. And as a Victorian, I found it great to hear our suburbs being mentioned in a song like Seaford and Sorrento.
Well, yeah, you are down in Southern FM, and, you know, Seaford and other pieces name checked. And I've got to give lots of credit to that, to the co-writer of that song, Harris O'Brien, who also... guy helped me co-write Hell of a Time. And he's a guy that I've written with many songs with. The very first one that we wrote together with his good friend John Pulicino, so Wilson, Pulicino and O'Brien, was Bed of Nails. So that's where we first got started, and I've written a lot of songs with particularly Eris since then. And it was basically his idea to name check those you know, Bayside suburbs, because at the time he was living around Frankston and then Rosebud, so we kind of got stuck into that, and I think it came from a title of mine, which a lot of songs start from titles, you know, and I just had this idea, like Fishing on a Rainy Day. It's like, fishing for what, you know? You're out there on the bay and you're fishing for something, and we took it from there, and it was great to like name check the suburbs and then sail out through the heads into who knows what.
Yeah. So are you a fisherman yourself?
Not really. No, I don't fish as a recreation, but yeah, fishing is a great way to spend time, and I have fished in the past, so like that all came into the song about like the meditative state to get into while you're fishing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a great song. It's really different. And I suppose going back many years, of course you were involved with this, but the Skyhooks did a song called Baldwin Calling, and I grew up in North Bourne, so this is very exciting to hear Baldwin mention this song.
Like, Skyhooks were great inspiration for a lot of people in rock biz to, like, you know, yes, we can name check our backyards, you know, just like Chuck Berry did with Memphis, Tennessee, or countless American writers, and Skyhooks were one of the ones to really break through in country artists have been doing it for ages around Australia, but Skyhooks were the first ones to go, like Baldwin, Carlton, you know, and on, you know, South Yarra,
yes,
like Toorak Cowboy, you know.
Except I have to give credit to Lucky Star with I've Been Everywhere. That's got about 50 places in it. But Ross, out of interest, did you ever have a plan B in case the music industry didn't work out for you?
Well, plan Bs are a good thing. So even within the music industry, it's good to have a plan B. And I would say that here we are in the era of no gigs, thanks to the virus.
Mm.
And luckily, my plan B was songwriting, even though I didn't really realise it, but... So luckily, I've got some music publishing income that comes in.
Okay.
Hopefully that will see me through this dark time, because I don't think I'll have any gigs before, at the earliest, October, if we're lucky, you know.
Yes, I was talking to Dennis Smith today, a great entrepreneur, Australian entrepreneur,
yep.
And he had a show all lined up for May with Johnny Young, Colin Hewitt and Normie Rowe,
yep.
And he said they've been postponed to at least the end of the year until the government tells them what they can do, you know?
Yep, that's right, and there's not much we can do about it.
No, but Ross, what about recording, though, seeing that we're all locked away?
Well, that's interesting you should say that, because... What I've done is, like, we've just moved house. It's taken over a year.
Mm.
And all that time, we were in a rental while we renovated a house that we bought, and then now we've moved into it in Port Melbourne.
Okay.
And so for a long time, I didn't have any kind of studio set up. I just couldn't be bothered. It was too hard, you know. So here I am sitting in my new, lovely new room, and I've set up all my equipment, not all of it yet, but nearly there. And reviewing a lot of songs that I've had in storage and pulling out, would you believe, cassettes and going, oh, that's a pretty good song, actually, you know. And so I've got a big backlog of songs, but I've also dug out a whole bunch of songs from that have never been done before, you know.
Oh, that's great.
And collaborations with people and all that, and I'm having a really good time in my new room, with great environment, and just playing all this stuff on this machinery I've set up, and so you could expect to hear some results from that.
Oh, great! Well, look, I'd like to just do a bit of a backgrounder about you. You've been involved in 10 bands as a composer, singer, guitarist, and producer, ranging from Daddy Cool through to Mighty Kong and Mondo Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to go back to early. I think it was about 1970 when a friend invited me to La Trobe Uni to see this new band called Daddy Cool. And I'd never heard of it. Mm-hmm. You guys weren't famous then. And I was knocked out, not just because of the great music, but I was particularly impressed about how tight the music was. It sounded like you guys had been playing together for decades.
Well, it was just one of those amazing things where you get the right people together, you know, to quote-unquote chemistry. So, you know, Wayne Duncan on bass and Gary Young on drums had been playing since in their teens together as a tight unit, and mm-hmm. had pop success already as the Rondells, in the Rondells with Bobby and Laurie, and then the Ram Jam Big Band and other bands.
Yeah.
And so they had a lot of history, even though they're still pretty young, you know. And myself and Ross Hannaford on guitar, and we'd come up together in a similar fashion since our mid-teen. So when we got together, it all kind of clicked, and there were no barriers to what we could do. Like all of us had a good history about, like, you know, rhythm and blues and rock and roll and country music, and it all bled in together. And like the ultimate rhythm section, and you know, me as a front man at Hannaford on guitar. He was only 20 at the time and coming up with beautiful music, you know, the licks on Come Back Again and all that stuff. And it was a very special time. It only lasted a couple of years, but while it was there, it was very, very unique.
I've always thought that Ross Hannaford was one of the best guitarists Australia's ever produced, and he was playing, like you said, that sort of stuff at 20. How did he learn how to play
well, he
that
was
like
a,
that?
He was, Ed Hardy was actually a visual artist. He was always torn between his art and his music until towards the middle of his life he realised you could do both, you know. Yeah. And so, but that is instructive in the way he played. He was very kind of intuitive, you know.
Yes.
And so it wasn't so much about technique, it was about how you felt. Mm. and where you know, just, we were all kind of like that in Daddy Cool. It was like, where are your fingers going to fall, you know, let's just take a chance and see what happens.
Yeah.
We were all bouncing off each other, you know. That's the great thing about music, when you get the right combination.
Yeah.
That you can do that, you don't have to think too much.
Yeah, well, I'm a Beatle freak, and they went through about 13 different lineups before they got their final lineup. So it's
exactly
what you're talking
and
about.
Then,
you know.
And then when it happened, you know, they were the same thing. They were a lot of those poured out of them, you know, just so much great stuff.
Yes, well, thanks for that. Well, with the current situation that we're talking about with the virus and all that, it stopped live gigs, but I know friends of mine are watching virtual concerts online. Are you going to do any of that sort of stuff at all? Because I know
well, not at the moment. No, I'm actually taking the opportunity just to lay back and as I said, you know, I'm reviewing a bunch of songs I've written over the years and writing some more stuff. And I think that's where my interest is for the next month or so, or a couple of months. And I was invited to participate in a couple of online things, but I just felt like, well, nah, just, you know, that's not... don't want to. I'm actually enjoying not having to kind of get frenetic about going interstate and on tour and all of that. It's like a layback time, and like I said, we're in this new house, and I'm just loving that and enjoying that, and I'm in a great neighbourhood, and so I'm just going, well, this is meant to be, you know. This is I don't have any control over this, so let's enjoy it for what it is.
Because
that's what I'm doing.
Because I saw on the internet you did have some gigs planned in Queensland and New South Wales. So I suppose they're just deferred till, you know, like you said, the end of the year or whatever. It's interesting. Well, you have to keep in contact so that we can put to air some new Ross Wilson
songs. That'd be wonderful.
Songs,
you know. Well, where do you go? This is your last show. Where do you go from here?
Well, we're moving to Sydney, and there is a community radio station in Paddington that I'm interested in joining, but I haven't got to the point of, you got to fill out the form and you got to do a demo and all that sort of stuff. So
well, you'd have plenty of demos. You got a bit of a CV.
So well, if they take me on, I've got to settle in first, get used to living in Sydney and all that, which will be a bit different. But talking about Sydney, Ross, I was just going to ask you, for any of us who've been to the opera houses, you know, to watch artists perform, what is it like to perform on that stage? Is it any different than other
terrific
venues?
Actually, and believe it or not, that was my first time ever in the main room at the opera house.
Yeah.
And one of the things about it is it's an opera house, right? It's not a rock house, even though the show we did was called Rock the House.
Yes.
So the acoustics are set up for mainly kind of acoustic music, you know, not amplified music. So the thing about playing the opera house in the big room is don't try to blast the place apart. So on that show, the amplifiers were actually, we had amplifiers on stage, but the lines were running back out to speakers off stage so they could be mic'd by the sound guys and not be like the sound wasn't coming off stage and blasting the room, because it's got a big echo kind of thing there.
Yes.
So people who had been there before knew about this, and so we were able to take advantage of their knowledge.
Yes.
And even though it looked like we had amps on stage, the sound was actually coming off from sealed boxes out the back. And therefore the sound was actually really, really good because we weren't wasn't all bouncing around the opera house.
Yeah. I've spoken before about, I'm a baby boomer, so I grew up going to see great bands like the Kinks at Festival Hall, which was built for wrestling. So,
Festival Hall, amazing place. Yeah,
it was the only place that, you know, as a young person, you could go and see a band. And then I talked about the opposite of that was when Rachel and I went to see Leo Sayer at Hamer Hall. And I looked up at the roof and I noticed that they have acoustic dishes, which apparently they can adjust the angle. And the acoustics of that concert were just unbelievable. They were just the absolute opposite of Festival Hall.
You know, Festival Hall, like you said, it was made for wrestling and boxing.
Mm.
And as a rock venue, it's actually a real dump. But I've seen some of the greatest shows I've ever seen at Festival Hall. And the air conditioning is non-existent. I've been there on 40-degree days and still seen fantastic things, you know. And one of the reasons is because everybody's played there, from Frank Sinatra to Johnny O'Keefe to every rock star that's ever been, Chuck Berry,
The Beatles.
The Kinks, The Who, The Beatles, everybody. Well, I don't think the Stones were there. But so many great people. And, you know, I would call myself probably agnostic, and as far as believing in a higher being and all of that. But there's something about I'm probably more of an animist because I believe like those rock and roll rooms build up vibes, and so all the people that have played at Festival Hall, even though it's a dump, have added something to that room, and it's just a great place to see rock and roll or hip hop or anything,
Yes. Yes. Well, look, before we go, I want to go through a few more things. You've recorded so many great albums, Ross, but I'd like to make special mention of one you brought out in 2008 called Tributary, where you slowed down your songs, and I reckon it's a masterpiece of an album. Look, I highly recommend go and get hold of that. Were you happy with it yourself?
Yeah, pretty happy. I mean, it gave me a chance. Even though the record company wasn't, they wanted an acoustic version of Eagle Rock that was just like the original Eagle Rock, and I gave them a ragtime version, So I took the opportunity to change everything around, there's a doo-wop version of State of the Heart,
Yeah.
But there's a really nice acoustic version of Cool World and various other songs, and a few rarities, I did it's all acoustic.
Yeah.
And there's a version of Boy, You're Paranoid, which is really, really good, which is one of my lesser-known songs.
Yes.
And a really cool version of Zoot Bop Gold Cadillac. So they said, do acoustic album. I said, okay, I will. But, here's what I'm giving you. There's a kind of Latin version of Bom Bom. So, don't give slavish copies of what you've already done. That's the whole point is, do something different. So I was pretty happy with that album, the way it turned out.
Yeah, well,
you can stream it.
Yep.
Go onto Spotify and have a listen.
Yeah, it's great.
iTunes,
Great album. Yeah. And I was mentioning Leo Sayer a few minutes ago, and he did the same thing. I think it was about, could be 5 or 6 years ago. He brought out a CD of his hits, slowed right down. And you know what? It's fantastic as well.
Chilled out.
It's interesting how you can change a song because I've mentioned before on air about I had the pleasure of interviewing Felix Cavalieri. I'm a huge fan of Young Rascals. And he talked about how he took a song called Good Lovin', which was, if you look at it on YouTube, the band that did it originally, it's a really pedestrian arrangement. It's quite boring. And he took a song and completely changed it, and bang, overnight, he said he was famous and rich, and they had to deal with that very quickly. Good Lovin' was a great version. But look, I'd like to talk about the two tracks we're going to finish with. Now, in 2005, Daddy Cool performed at the Maui Music Bowl for the Tsunami Benefit Appeal. And this recording that I'm going to play in a few minutes of you playing live not just shows how good you guys were, but the reaction from the crowd was incredible. You must have got a buzz from it.
Yeah, it was great. And the great thing about it was, we basically, Daddy Cool members had all decided at some time, we're not going to go on tour, we're not going to do this stuff, we're going to do our own thing. But when the tsunami tragedy happened, I gave them a call. Someone called me, I think it was Glenn Wheatley, said, do you reckon you can get the guys up to play the music bowl for this you know, raise some money. And I called everybody, and they went, yeah, that's a great idea, you know, if we're going to do it for anything.
Yeah.
And so, fortunately, our other mate, Gil Matthews, who ran like a DVD company, he wanted to record and film the whole thing, so you can get all that on a DVD, the whole show.
Yeah.
And it turned out really well. So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no, it's great. And the second song that we're going to finish with, and no surprise here, is Eagle Rock, an acknowledged Aussie classic. Now, it was released in May 1971, and it mm-hmm. raced up to number one on the Australian National Music Charts, and it stayed on the charts for 6 months. That's half a year. And
yeah, it was pretty good, yeah.
I was thinking, you know, I can't compose music. I'm a guitarist, but I can't compose. But I thought if I was a full-time muso, what I'd probably want to do is what most musos want. I want to get a recording contract. I want to get a song into the Australian Top 40. That'd be such a buzz. And you not only got into the Top 40, your song stayed there for half a year.
It was number one on the national chart for 10 weeks, but in our hometown, Melbourne, it was number one for 17 weeks.
Wow,